Nutty Fiction.
Hey there, listeners. This is a bonus episode. And for this bonus episode, you're going to get some Nutty Fiction. This time, that means you're getting something that I wrote. It's a story, a prequel story, about a character that I play in a tabletop role-playing game. Her name is Siva. She's an urban brawler. And it's set in Shadowrun. So we're talking The Matrix meets D&D and a bunch of other stuff. But basically, Siva's a cyber-addicted, augment-addicted sports star. But right now, you're going to learn why she is the way she is. Hope you enjoy. This is my first time doing a podcast fiction, so please be gentle.
You're never going to be adopted. Who wants a broken girl? Broken girl, you're so broken!
Taunts came to Siva's ears as she tried to pretend she was alone. I'm blind. Not broken, she spat out bitterly. She knew where the boy was who started this. Knew his name was Jeff, knew he was only slightly taller than her, and she knew he would cry when she ended up making her move.
You're not broken because you can't see. You're broken because you're a freak who's more like a dog than a girl.
As Jeff said the last time, Siva moved with agile speed and swung her legs out from under her in a sweeping motion, getting good old Jeff at the knees and knocking him hard against the blacktop. She heard the dull thud of his head hitting the pavement, and it simply brought a smile to her face. His cries of pain were just icing on the cake as she crawled over to him and started punching him. His words went from pleas for help to unintelligible sobs as each fist hit his mouth and nose over and over.
Siva!
Someone called out. And far too soon, Siva felt many hands on her, pulling her off of little Jeff, who was now bloody and unable to get up on his own. She felt these strong arms preventing her from leaving their grasp and returning to pummeling Jeff like she wanted to.
Broken? Just like that?
Jeff was crying. Siva could hear his voice fading as he was leaving the playground or being carried away.
No one wants a freak like you.
It was true. No one wanted her. Not because she couldn't see, but because she was so violent. They wanted pretty girls who said please and thank you. They wanted somebody they could show off. Siva would never fit that bill. And she liked it that way. What did she need parents for? So they could tell her what to do and who to be? So they could tell her what to read and listen to and what to like? She was sure parents wouldn't allow her to do what she really wanted. She wanted to date a Jack. She wanted to plug in so she could see the urban brawl games. When she was plugged in, she could see what was going on, not just listen to it. A direct connection would give her something she could never have in life. Eyes.
If it were up to me, I would punish this little stun of yours by refusing you your visitor.
Came the voice of Ms. Rose, the same person who had come and stopped the fight.
You don't deserve this. You need to find a way to be less violent and get along with the other kids.
She didn't wait for Siva's reply. It was probably a rhetorical statement. Instead, she was tugging on Siva's arm and dragging her inside. Siva could tell she was inside. Everything went dark. She didn't see objects, but she could see light. When she smelled the scent of the front office, she crinkled her nose. There were these fake flowers in the lobby, and Mrs. Jenkins sprayed them with funny chemicals that was supposed to make them smell like flowers. They felt really fake to the touch and smelled awful. She couldn't imagine anyone was fooled by their sight either.
This is Dr. Lee. Dr. Lee, this is Siva, the girl you requested. Are you sure you want her for your experiment? She's quite the behavior problem.
Yes, Miss Rose.
The voice of an old man spoke.
According to her medical records, she is just the candidate. May we have some time alone, please?
Siva could hear Ms. Rose walk away without so much as a word. Her footsteps were heavy, which meant she wasn't pleased at all. Siva wasn't sure what was upsetting her. It seemed like the man who wanted to speak with her was the trigger, but she didn't understand why that would bother Miss Rose. When she said experiment, it sounded like this guy didn't want to be nice to Siva. Experiments with kids were bad things, right? What did she mean? Have me? Experiment? Siva asked cautiously. She didn't want to be taken to a worse place, but if anything life had taught her up until then, was that she didn't really have a choice in her own future. She heard Dr. Lee sit down on the creaky bench they kept in the lobby. He sighed as he sat. She was sure he was an old man from his voice and how he moved. Old people got winded doing little things like standing, sitting.
Siva, my name is Dr. Lee. I work in the industry of cybernetics. Have you ever heard of that word?
Sure I have. The word pleased her. Cybernetics is where augments come from. Urban brawlers use these augments to increase speed and strength. Do you work for Ares or some company I might know of?
Not quite. I'm in research, and I work independently. I sell to companies like Ares.
Siva shook her head. Nuh-uh. Ares is too big and powerful to let any of their engineers or scientists work outside of contract. Everyone knows that.
You're a smart girl. Did you know that?
In Siva's mind's eye, Dr. Lee was smiling.
It is true. Ares' standard operating procedure is to engage a scientist in a contract once they purchase from them. But I'm not just any scientist or engineer.
Siva was skeptical, but she was still interested. This man, this Dr. Lee, he wasn't talking down to her. He didn't treat her like a child. He was talking to her like he would any other adult. So what makes you so special, huh? There was a short pause before she heard anything else. What she heard first was Dr. Lee getting back to his feet.
I'm special. Like you. You're not just any blind girl. You have something special about you. You're a fighter. I'm special, too. I'm a fighter. I won't let Ares or any other corp own me.
She felt him get down on one knee and get close to her. She could feel his breath on her face as he spoke.
Do you want to help me prove everyone else wrong?
It sounds fun, she said honestly. But what are you going to do to me?
I'll make you see. I'll make you a superstar.
Like the people on my feeds? She wasn't sure if he was feeding her a line or not. She wanted to believe in him. She wanted to have a reason to hope. But in her life, in her world, hope just created letdowns.
Out in the deep dark, we trust Lois. But for podcast novel reviews, we trust Odin. Visit viewfromvalhalla.com.
It was more painful than she had feared. Before Dr. Lee started anything, he did tests on Siva, and more tests, and more. Sure, that may sound simple enough. Blood tests and such are no big deal. Bone marrow and electronic stimulus to the brain is a bit severe for a child to endure. Weeks of tests were required to get preliminary data for Dr. Lee. In the meantime, he introduced Siva to her new home. There was his lab, a living room, a kitchen, two bathrooms, an operating room, and her room. He called it her recovery room. She wondered what she would need to recover from. Soon, she'd find out. It was clear that Dr. Lee hadn't had much experience with children. He had tried to get toys for the space, though Siva could tell they were secondhand. The stuffed animal on her bed, she was sure was supposed to be a rabbit, but it had a torn ear. Fur was soft and well-loved, but it had that same smell that the clothes they gave her at the orphanage did. Slight mildew mixed with mothballs. There were some games, but nothing she wanted to play. Playing jacks or solitaire wasn't much fun when you were blind. She'd found a good bit of string and could play cat's cradle. That was fun. She had asked Dr. Lee for a server to jack in, but there were two things stopping that. One, the only servers he had were too modern to interface with her old data jack. And two, he didn't want to stimulate her synapses with anything but stimuli of his own control. The test took longer than she thought, too. She kept telling herself it was worth it. She needed this to live a functional life. Life without his treatments looked dismal. Not only was she handicapped with blindness, but there were other problems with her physiology. She was what they called diabetic, so she had to get shots twice a day. She had an irregular heartbeat and what they called a hole in her heart. There were some other issues, mostly having to do with blood flow and regulation and There was some other genetic stuff. It was a lot of medical terms, and Siva really didn't care too much to dissect it. It was just something she had to live with. She overheard a doctor telling Ms. Rose once that, well, she wasn't expected to live a long and healthy life. If she made it to 20, then she was out of the woods. And she could live until her 40s or even 50s. Seeing as that wasn't even half of how long most people lived until, she knew this wasn't a bright outlook. The doctor had also said she would need special medication and some special treatment for the rest of her life. So far, she had only gotten shots and pills to take. She didn't see the doctors that often, so she assumed she wasn't getting whatever it was she needed. She was young, but she knew what the future held for her. When she aged out of the orphanage, she would lose her main supply of the shots. She wasn't sure what would happen. She also knew the hope of getting adopted was fleeting. No one would want her. And if they did try her out, send her back sooner or later, it was inevitable. The idea of treatment was like a light at the end of a long and dark tunnel. A kernel of hope. Siva was more than willing to endure the pain, just for a chance at hope. She'd suffered worse, and would in her life, she was sure. This was just physical pain. Dr. Lee said he was sorry when he hurt her, and he always told her what would happen before he did anything. He would tell her what she could expect to feel, as far as pain, and he made sure to dope her up with drugs after he was done. In between tests, he spent time with her too. They talked and played slap games where she would have to slap his hands before he pulled them away, or vice versa. They would play word games and he would test her with math puzzles. She didn't learn much math in the orphanage. It turned out that she had a knack for it. Dr. Lee never raised his voice to her. He never made her feel bad and never said an unkind word to her. She had never had anyone make her feel more comfortable and safe. She was afraid she might not be the right candidate. She didn't want to lose this opportunity. Or lose the company. Every time he would perform a test, he would again ask her for her consent and insist that she can stop at any time she wants. She never stopped a single test.
This is Richard Green, aka Mainframe, of the Geek Out with Mainframe podcast. That can be found at geekoutwithmainframe.com. With hundreds of geek interview podcasts, I have one of them. Interviews have included people such as Michael Plested, Gerald Axelrod, P.C. Herring, J.R. Murdoch, Christiana Ellis, Mark the Encaffeinated One Kilfoyle, Paul E. Cooley, and Nathan Lowell, with more to come in 2011. So come to geekoutwithmainframe.com, where our geek flag always flies high.
Lunchtime,
she heard Dr. Lee say. At the same time, she heard the squeaky wheels of the food cart being wheeled into her room.
Steak and mushroom sauce, carrots, lyonnaise, and mashed potatoes. I made it into a clown face.
You're as old as you are, big fat liar. I can't see. Why would you make it into a clown face? For that matter, you could tell me you made my food into the shape of Antarctica, and I couldn't tell.
In that case, I made it into a shape of Antarctica. Right there on the tip of the steak is a penguin, standing next to Admiral Byrd.
Such a liar. You shouldn't lie to the sick.
Why? It's a lot easier to trick the sick.
He answered her as he cut her food. She could hear the plastic knife digging into the paper plate. Dr. Lee was a kind man. His teasing and games had made Siva's recovery a lot easier. So, did you learn a lot? Siva changed the subject. Am I the girl that you need? Dr. Lee had told her often of his plans, explained the experiment and what he was doing, how he would implant in her working systems to replace the faulty ones. He needed someone who was more than just handicapped. He needed somebody with enough problems to fix to show off his work, but who was healthy enough to survive the process.
I have a lot of data to look through and analyze.
He was avoiding her question. Was it worth it for me to go through all of this pain? She didn't want it to be a waste. She didn't want some other kid to get the treatments. She wanted to be the one who got to see. Most of all, she didn't want to go back to the orphanage.
I have high hopes. You know I hate to speculate. I will tell you as soon as I know more. I have told you before. Once I know, you will know.
What made you start doing this? She asked as he handed her the plate and fork.
I had a sister. She was born with problems.
Problems like me?
A little. Not exactly. She couldn't use her legs or arms. She was essentially strapped to a board her whole life. We had to feed her, dress her, do everything for her. It was a hard life for her. Worse yet, I think, was how much she had going on upstairs. She was brilliant. So much smarter than me. It was a waste. She needed someone to help her reach potential. There was no one to help her. When she died from complications, I swore that I would find a way to help people like her.
Hello, ladies and gents. Look at your fiction. Now back to me. Now back at your fiction. Now back to me. Sadly, your fiction is not Flagship Magazine, but you can still listen or read it in the format of your choice. Look down. Back up. Where are we? We are on a ship, sailing to the infinite destinations that Pirate's Cove magazine can bring you. What's in your hand? Back to me. I have it. It's a needle, meant to subdue a victim, to torture them both physically and mentally, for the enjoyment of Abattoir magazine readers. So pick up the Flying Island Press magazine of your choice, and let fiction take you where you want to go. I've been abducted.
Everything came back positive. You were a prime candidate,
Dr. Lee said as he prepared Siva's breakfast.
Are you sure you still want to be my guinea pig?
Trek, yeah, Siva swore as she dropped her hands. They were tangled in string from a game of cat's cradle that she no longer cared about. Gee, do I want to stay with you or go back? Do I want to be able to see, you know, see things every day, all the time, like being jacked in? Or do I want to stick with this rusty port and only be able to jack in on old servers? It's a pretty dumb question, Doc.
Siva, I wouldn't send you back. Did you think if you didn't pass the tests that I would send you back?
Of course. Why wouldn't you? You wouldn't need me if I wasn't a candidate.
Oh, Siva, my dear. I never wanted you to think of that. You agreed to undergo a lot of pain and trouble. No matter what happened, I wouldn't send you back. Also, I wouldn't let you leave here without upgrading something. If you didn't fit for this course of treatment, I would have at least given you a visor you could keep permanently and upgraded your data jack. It would be inhuman to do otherwise.
Siva was confused. So then what would you have done with me? She knew if she wasn't a right fit, she wouldn't be able to stay. Her room would be someone else's room. The toys would belong to someone else. And all of Dr. Lee's attention and concern would shift to another. I mean, you said if I left here. If I left here, where would I go?
I would find a home for you. You would be cared for and have means to support yourself and help educate you.
He sounded sad. Siva wasn't sure why. Was he disappointed she didn't know this? Or disappointed because he thought her loyalty was just to stay away from that bad place? Well, that's awful nice, but it'd be a waste. No one would keep me. No one wants a broken girl. She felt Dr. Lee bend down to her height. She could feel his body heat near her face, and she felt his hand grasp her upper arm. He was speaking so close to her face, she could smell the bacon he had just eaten.
Siva, you're blind. You're not broken. If I never operate on you, you are still not broken. If I do operate on you, you won't be fixed. You will just be enhanced. When I find you a place to live, it won't be like that place I took you from. I will not abandon you, Siva.
When you find me a place? When you... What do you mean?
Siva, dear.
Dr. Lee placed his hand on her shoulder and squeezed it gently.
I won't abandon you, but I can't be here for you forever. You're going to grow up into an amazing woman. I want to nurture that and help you on your way. This will end, though. You won't stay here forever. I won't be here forever. I'm an old man. You are a young girl. This can't last. You need a good foundation to build from, and then you'll take care of yourself. You don't need someone to take care of you. Well, now you do, but one day before you realize it, you won't.
The Vatican released an official statement today, condemning the lax response by the FBI in relation to what it calls the most profane
desecration. God provides me canvas. I provide God art.
This weekend, attend the largest tattoo convention in Texas, the Houston Tattoo Expo, at the George R. Brown Convention Center.
I need to be whole again.
An Amber Alert, the second this week, has been issued for the greater Houston area and suburbs. Brian Greeley,
Tony,
9-year-old at Hendricks Elementary.
In what is the ice cream man?
Beans, Volume 1, the debut hardcover story collection from Parsec Award-nominated author Paul Ellard Cooley, is on sale now. Don't miss your chance to own one of the 250 signed, numbered, limited edition copies. For more information, please visit shadowpublications.com. We don't believe in happy endings.
Tell me, what do you see?
Dr. Lee asked Siva as she heard some sort of high-pitched whine.
I just turned on your ocular implants, and we need to calibrate your new cyber eyes.
Oh, this is weird, Siva said as the world around her blurred and slowly came into focus. It wasn't like jacking in. She didn't see the world as flat. It had depth to it. It was hard for her to handle. Like she could see what her hands could feel. I'm getting kind of dizzy, too.
Yes, that will happen. But what do you see?
Dr. Lee ignored her complaints. I see a lot of shapes. It's not too bright. The room is white? Or is that gray? Siva was unsure. I hope that's you, Doc, that I see in front of me. You have a lot of white hair. Is this supposed to be white?
Yes, it is white. It has been white for many years. When people get old, their hair turns gray or white, sometimes silver. Mine is very white.
You have, I think it's called a mustache. That hair on your face. Over your mouth?
Yes. That is a mustache. Siva, how do you know what a mustache looks like? For that matter, how do you know colors?
At the orphanage, they have old data servers for treats. They let us pick our own prizes. I always pick to jack into the entertainment matrix. Normally, they wouldn't allow kids so much time on the servers, but since it was the only way I could actually see anything, they kind of had to let me. One of the ladies who was there when I was young taught me colors and what things I was looking at actually were. She was nice like that sometimes. She thought it was important for me to know these things. Though if you think about it, she was teaching me about things I'd never see in real life. I'd never know. Dr. Lee smiled and exposed a lot of teeth. His teeth were a little more yellow in comparison to his hair.
Well, she has made my job easier.
He bent down and picked up some large cards. He flipped one over and moved it close to her face.
Tell me, what do you see on this card?
Siva tilted her head to one side. It was easier to see the image when he brought the card closer to her. I see a lot of green. There are trees and bushes. Is it a backyard? There's a small gray thing in the corner. Wait, I know what it is. It has pointy ears and fur and pink nose, and those things coming from the nose are whiskers. It's a cat, right?
Yes, it is. Very good. You are good at this. What about this one?
He showed her another card. This time it was orange and red and yellow. I've seen that before. on news reports, ruins houses. Firemen were called to the scene. It's a fire, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. Same thing that makes a stove work.
Dr. Lee laughed again, though it wasn't mean in nature. She could tell he wasn't laughing at her. He was pleased with her, so he was laughing with her. Right. It's hot. Cooks things. Same reason I keep my hands off the stove. Having lived her life through touch, she learned really quick that it was smart to know where the stove, heater, or other hot things were so she could avoid them and not accidentally burn herself. I think there was a fire in the orphanage once. One of the other kids did it. They set the linens on fire. I remember hearing Ms. Rose screaming and cursing. First time I ever heard her say bloody hell. Not the last, though. I made her curse a lot in funny ways. She was always telling me to scat and get out from under her. When I was outside and away from her, she would come find me and tell me I was doing wrong. Didn't make any sense. She didn't want me near her, but she didn't want me to go away either.
Very good. You are doing well.
He smiled at her. Dr. Lee was getting used to Siva straying off topic and telling stories. In the last few months, they had gotten pretty close. He would tell her stories, too. It was nice being able to share things with someone.
Now I'm going to show you something else.
He reached down and picked up something round.
I want you to tell me what temperature this is.
Siva instinctively reached out to touch it. He pulled it away and said,
No. Tell me by sight. Is this hot or cold?
How can I? How can I tell that? By looking. Sighted people can't see heat, can they?
Not mundane sighted people, no. You are not mundane. You are special. You can switch to thermal mode. Now, I want you to concentrate.
Yeah, okay. Siva furrowed her brow in deep concentration. She wasn't sure how to activate thermal mode, but as she stared at the object and thought really hard about heat, like magic, the world around her changed. She felt a tingling feeling rush through her body, and now everything had a color. The round object had a dark blue center, with lighter blue at the edges. She could feel inside that the blue was cold to the touch. She looked at Dr. Lee, and he was made up of reds and oranges. He was very warm to her. She focused on different objects around the room. Not only did she see a color that represented the heat signature of the object, but she felt the temperature almost as if she was touching it. That's so cool. The round thing is cold. Really cold. Is that in the freezer?
It was. I had it in the freezer just to test you. This is a thermopack. You keep it in the freezer, so if someone gets hurt, you can use this to ice a wound.
I was kind of hoping that was ice cream. I know. Not till you work on my blood systems. She'd been dreaming of the day she could binge on sweets, almost as much as she was dreaming of seeing the world. Though she never expected sight to be as amazing as it was turning out to be. Can you show me real fire? I want to see how it looks in thermal mode. Dr. Lee obliged by fishing a box of matches out of his bag and striking one. A bright white and orange spark erupted into an upside-down teardrop atop the small wooden stick. There was a touch of blue at the base that faded into orange and then yellow at the top. She focused till she was in thermal mode, and the colors changed. Where it was blue, it had turned bright red and faded into reddish-orange where it was yellow. Siva was amazed. Her eyes danced as she stared into the flame. She had never seen anything so beautiful. Then again, she had only seen poor resolution till now. Still, it was amazing. This is so amazing. Thanks, Doc. But, how long will it last?
Oh, child, this is forever.
Can't be. Power source? No cybernetics can run forever. The power source needs refueling, upgrades, and tweaking.
This is why I am special. Your eyes will never need work. That's the point. My work isn't about keeping Ares and their competitors in business. It's about keeping you happy in your own body, your own life, your own space.
I've always been an outcast. I always wanted to be like everyone else. But now? I'll be better.
You will still be an outcast. Are you all right with that?
Hell yeah. With the work you've been talking about, I'll be so hot I could be an Arbon brawler, not just watch them on my data jack. I could go back to the orphanage and beat up every bully that ever picked on me.
I'm glad, Seaver. Though I do hope you lose some of this violence and aggression. You need to find some way to channel your anger. And I would hope you find a more academic method and path in your life. You're so smart. It would be a waste.
You know, you need smarts for Urban Brawl. Would you bet on me?
Every time.
Doc?
Laura, hi.
Oh my god, I almost didn't recognize you. You've lost so much weight.
Oh, thanks. I've been working on it.
You look great. What's your secret?
You know, everyone keeps asking me that. I'm just doing it with diet and exercise. The only real secret seems to be getting your head on straight before you get started. I actually started a podcast about it.
About getting your head on straight?
Sort of. It's about my weight loss and about the ways that people trip themselves up with the attitudes that they have going in. I do episodes every week talking about what I've had to deal with, and every couple of weeks I throw in some philosophy. The idea is to help someone else figure out what they need to do to make it work out for them.
That sounds pretty cool. What's the podcast called?
It's called The Shrinking Man Project. The URL is theshrinkingmanproject.com. I try to keep it simple.
Well, it certainly seems to be working for you.
Flatterer. More, more.
Over the next few weeks of recovery, Siva learned more about her new cyber eyes, what they could do, and how to work them. It was amazing. She could zoom in like a telescope. She could see metal through clothes and some thin walls. She could even break down the different gases in the air. Best yet was playing with the night vision. She found herself creeping through the lab in the dark, testing out the limits of her new sight. Just as she was getting very active, it was time for the hard work. Dr. Lee had made sure that her eyes and the rest of her systems would work independently so that if something happened to the one, the other would still work. She had thought the eye surgery was going to be the most painful in operation and recovery. She was wrong. She had no idea how a changeover to a whole new blood regulatory system would tax her systems and fill her with pain. By the time she woke from her main processing unit surgery, it didn't even feel like she was on pain medication at all. She had become used to it, or perhaps the more refined system was filtering out the medications. Dr. Lee said once her body was working with it properly and he was sure of the settings, he would tweak it and create a subsystem for if she needed medication to work. That didn't help her in the recovery process, though. Testing out her blood systems wasn't as much fun as testing out the cyber eyes. She didn't mind testing out the diabetes too much. It involved lots of sweets. She discovered she really liked frozen treats. Her favorite was a mango one in syrup. Rock candy was fun. After each one, she would save the plastic stick the rock candy came on to chew on later. Eventually, she had quite the collection, and Dr. Lee made her haul them out to the garbage. He claimed it was unsanitary to hold on to her trash. She thought it was fun to collect things. She never had anything before.
I can't believe you left the candy wrappers behind,
Dr. Lee said when she returned from the garbage. It took her a lot of energy to get that far, but he insisted she needed to move around. She had to keep the blood flowing. But it's so far away. Already feeling like an idiot for her complaints, Siva turned to return with the rest of the garbage, even before hearing Dr. Lee's reply. She already knew what his answer was going to be.
If it hurts, that means you're living,
he said as she left. He had apologized more times than she could count for the pain and discomfort she was feeling. After a while, the apologies turned into him pushing her to keep moving and keep active. Testing her heart rhythm wasn't much fun either. It involved pushing herself to her limits on a treadmill, with wires attached to different parts of her body. She felt like a circuit board. She much preferred the test that involved sitting around or laying in her bed and gorging herself on sweets. Once they got her blood systems working normally, Dr. Lee started working on enhancing her body's performance. He worked in the ability to filter out and allow the effects of medication in the bloodstream first. Then he started tweaking so that she could mentally control certain aspects, so when she needed more oxygen in her blood for better performance, the central processing unit would push more oxygen out of her lungs and into the bloodstream. If the presence of bacteria entered her system, the white blood cells would become more aggressive. That too could be controlled for when she needed to add new augments so her systems wouldn't reject the hardware. Dr. Lee also added something to take care of her heart. It was still fully biological, with just a slight augment to make sure that not only would it be able to work with the new systems, but it would remove the deficiency she was born with. Essentially, it was a patch and a generator. It was close to 2 years before the work Dr. Lee had planned for Siva was completed. He was very pleased with her performance, and she was eventually able to leave the lab. It turned out there was an old playground behind the building. She would run and experiment with her new body out in the playground. She found that she was very acrobatic. She would plug in with her new high-tech data jack and watch all the urban brawl segments she could. Instead of low-res, two-dimensional images, she was able to not only see in three dimensions, it felt so real she could practically smell the sweat dripping off Riot, her favorite player. She streamed his plays over and over again. When she was out on the play yard, she imagined she was running plays with Riot. That was when she wasn't pretending to be him.
"I got us a press conference,"
Dr. Lee said, interrupting Siva's play one afternoon.
"Next month, we're going to show the world what you can do."
"Really? That's awesome!" Siva threw her arms around Dr. Lee and squeezed with joy. "They'll be so proud of you. They'll shower money down on you and give you everything you want."
"I hope so, dear one. I hope so."
"What do you want most?" she asked as she let him go, looking up at him with wonder in her eyes. Granted, Dr. Lee might be the only one who could recognize separate emotion in the silver eyes she wore. They didn't look like other cyber eyes on the market. The silver showed no circuits or evidence of technology. They seemed ethereal, as if they were liquid silver pooling behind her heavy eyelids.
"I want what I've given you to be granted to anyone who needs it. I don't want the money. I want to release this tech to everyone and anyone."
As he laughed, Siva thought about how it was just a pipe dream. But still, she knew he planned to patent the technology just so he would be able to set the prices. Keep it affordable for the people that needed it, for the people who couldn't afford to hire their own scientists to fix their kid. "If they don't give you what you want, I'll beat them up for you." "So, when can I add more? Make my legs faster, my arms stronger. I'm gonna be big and tough, like Riot."
"Oh, child. You are perfect now. Why do you need to be faster and stronger?"
"So I can be our protector. No one can ever touch you or me ever again."
When Isabelle's secret past returns to haunt her nightmares, she must take action to protect her family from a threat that is closer than she realizes. Set within the traditional Viennese café culture, Wiener Blut, literally translated as Viennese blood, is the story of café owner Isabelle Schindler-Krug and her role in a struggle for power that stretches back for centuries. As she tells her sons the legends behind coffee and Vienna, it becomes clear that one such legend is still in the making, with her own family caught right in the middle. Wiener Blut by Katharina Maimer at wiener-blut.com.
A week later, Dr. Lee came back after being gone for a long time. He wasn't carrying boxes of parts or supplies. He wasn't even carrying groceries. He was carrying lots of shiny bags with fancy names on them.
"I got this for you, for our press conference,"
he said as he handed her a big bag that read Bloomingdale's on it. "What is it?" Siva wondered if it was something that would showcase her talents. Instead, she pulled out the most beautiful purple dress she had ever seen. It had shimmer to it, and the fabric felt amazing. She just wanted to touch it and run her hands all over the dress. She held it up to her form and smiled. "Hey, I can even run in this and do acrobatics. Doc, this is amazing. I don't know what to say. You've given me everything and more. These presents are perfect. A thank you isn't enough."
Thank me by trying it on. I cannot wait to see. Come back out here and twirl for me.
Filled with excitement, she ran for her room to change. She didn't even bother to look for shoes in the other bags. She just wanted to get the dress on and race back to Dr. Lee so she could twirl for him. So she left her boots on. She was sure it would give him a giggle to see her in a fancy dress and boots. She couldn't wait. As the heavenly feeling of purple cloth fluttered over her head and down over her shoulders, she heard a loud grunt from the lab. It was louder than Dr. Lee normally was. He was so mild and soft in nature. Even his strains, grunts, and groans would be inaudible, unless you were in the same room. She jumped when the next sound came. It was a very loud crashing sound, soon followed by the sounds of glass crashing. Her eyes were wide as she heard the commotion. She heard the sound of men moving about in the labs, and then they spoke.
Should we check the domicile for more notes?
Nah. The orders were just the lab. The cops need something to piece together a story. Otherwise, it'll be too clean.
Siva knew what that meant. Too clean of a crime scene meant corporation cop. The intruders in her home were hired men, possibly by one of the corps that were invited to the press conference. She listened closely. She knew if they started up the hall, leaving the lab area, she would need to find a place to hide. She couldn't be found. She couldn't let them steal her away from Dr. Lee. Siva, as quickly and quietly as she could, stole away to her bed to grab the rabbit in her arms. Returning to the door, she listened again.
You smash all the hard drives? All right, good. Let's get the Drek out of here. Mission's done. Let's get back to the base. Drinks are on me, boys.
Siva waited for 10 minutes after they left before she left her room. She counted the seconds off until she was sure there was enough time and then snuck down the hall. Doc? She called as she made her way to the lab. He didn't answer her. He didn't even make a sound. When she opened the door to the lab, it was a mess and scary to see. Everything was on the floor. Glass was everywhere. Papers torn and tossed about. There was a fire in the corner. Something she once thought of as beautiful was now destroying what was precious to Dr. Lee, destroying their home. Doc? She called out again, walking around the main table in the lab. Finally, she saw his form on the ground. Fear gripped at her throat. Doc. Siva was scared to move, scared of what she might find. She forced herself to go to his body. As soon as she saw his face, tears were streaming from her eyes. His eyes were open. His blue eyes were staring at the ceiling. They weren't twinkling or anything. They were devoid of life. She grabbed him and shook him. Doc. Doc, please. Please wake up. Please. She was shaking him until she realized her hands were sticky. There was something on his back. Something wet. She set him down and pulled her hands back and fell back in shock and horror. Her hands were covered in deep red stuff. It looked like jam or syrup. It couldn't be. It just couldn't be. It was. It was blood. A lot of it. Lots of blood coming from the back of Dr. Lee's head, near the neck. She knew enough about the body, especially now after Dr. Lee's tutelage, to understand what happened. Someone struck him with the intent of severing the spinal cord. He was dead before the grunt she heard finished leaving his body.
Oh, Doc. Oh, Doc.
Suddenly she heard a beaker fall off one of the counters. It was probably near the fire. Just enough to startle her and wake her up. They didn't know about her. No one knew he had a live subject. If they did, they would have taken her. She needed to run. She needed to run to save herself.
One day you will be able to take care of yourself. I'll make you ready, and you will be an amazing woman.
She remembered Dr. Lee's frequent words.
You'll be my superstar.
So she ran. She ran from the body of the only person who ever cared about her. The only family she had ever known, ever would know. She ran. Ran away with his gift inside her. Something special. She just kept running, never stopping, never telling anyone of Dr. Lee. He was special. Special to her. Special to the world. He was going to change it. All of his work was inside her. All of his love was inside her too. Every night, she closed her eyes and she saw his kind eyes. His smile and his old face. He reminded her she was his superstar. He reminded her to run, be careful, and be safe. Just keep running.
When Elizabeth Carter was orphaned, she felt like she lost everything. No friends to speak of, no family, nothing in this world to keep her. so she decided to look for her fate off-world. Taking her future in her hands, Libby chose a vocation that would leave the world behind, removing her from every person on Earth. She joined SNV LLC as a miner in the asteroid belt. She was promised workable land to Homestead just for showing up. Now with her fate decided, light years away from Earth, Libby finds out that she was shanghaied. Left on a tiny rock at the edge of space, she finds herself bound into indentured servitude. As Libby tries to dig herself out, she realizes greatness in the people around her, and finds high adventure in the inky blackness of space. Cave-in rescues, planetary collisions, and other dangerous mishaps keep Libby and her new family fighting to stay alive. Written by Brand Gamblin, creator of the Parsec-nominated show Calls for Cthulhu, and read by S.V. Alley, creator of the C4C podcast, this is a story of determination, hard work, pain, and redemption. This is the story of Tumblr. www.tumblrnovel.net.
Siva was written by Nukchas. The narrator and voice of Siva was played by Nukchas. The role of Jeff, the annoying boy, was played by Thomas Putton, a.k.a. Simbaka. The role of Ms. Rose was played by Vivid Muse of the Into the Blender podcast and the Girls Rules podcast. The role of Dr. Lee was played by Mark the Encaffeinated One of The Weird Show. The role of the head thug was played by Carrick Sintru. The role of Thug One was played by Jancis. I hope you enjoyed this story. Thanks for listening. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 3.0 Unported license. Please return to the podcast feed for your regularly scheduled programming.